Well, good morning. I want to welcome you again to Gospel Dynamite on Tuesday. I have the privilege to be your Bible teacher on Tuesday morning as we study the Word of God and look into the Scriptures to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we praise the Lord for the privilege to enjoy it. My name is David Bowler, and Sue and I have the privilege of serving with Global Faith Missions and traveling the country, preaching the Word, mission trips overseas, book studies, and newspaper articles, radio broadcast, track ministries, everything we can do to get the gospel out and use our lives for the Lord while we can. Time is like a vapor. Time is short. And friend, we want to be about the business of the Lord and glorifying Jesus Christ. Now, we've been in a study. We started with the coming of the Lord and did a study on the rapture. And then we moved there into our new bodies because the Bible says we're going to be resurrected. We're going to have new bodies and the new glorified bodies that are going to give us. We looked what our new bodies are going to be like. Then from there, we went straight to the judgment seat of Christ, which we'll do in the future, and where God evaluated us on our works, not to save us, because you're saved by the blood of Jesus and that alone, but evaluated on what we've done with the Lord Jesus Christ and how we built our life, whether it's on gold, silver, precious stone, or hay, wood, and stubble. And then last week, we started looking at our future home. Judgment seat's over. We're looking around heaven and our future home, the new Jerusalem that God has built, that is coming down out of heaven, and God is the architect, the builder of this wonderful, wonderful city. Jesus called it the city of my God. He described it in Luke 14:3. I go to prepare a place for you. And during the millennium period, it'll be hovering over the earth. During the new heaven and the new earth, it will come down and be the new city, the new Jerusalem city. We looked at the dimensions of the city, Revelation 21 through 15, that this city is a cube, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide. You just think of that. 1,500 floors on this thing, each one of a mile high. That means there's 2.25 million square miles on each floor. Each floor, 20 times larger than New Zealand, 10 times larger than Germany, 10 times larger than France, 40 times larger than England. In the United States, it'd be from the Atlantic Ocean to Colorado, from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico. And within this, each level that's a mile high, 1,500 of them, could have 424 floors, each one 12.5 or 12.5 feet high ceilings on each floor, which would be a total of 636,000 floors. It could provide over 3 billion square miles of living space. You just think of that. So the cube is a pattern of the Holy of Holies, 20 by 20 by 20. And the Revelation says that the New Jerusalem is called the Tabernacle of God. And so we looked at this wonderful dimension. And then we looked at the description of the city. It's called the Holy City in Revelation 21, 1 and 2. There's not going to be any sin there. It's going to be a place where people are holy and godly and love the Lord. There's going to be no immorality, no ungodliness, no crime, no sickness, no hospitals, no jail, no police department. Wonderful. A holy city. And then he begins to describe the city, the gates of pearl. Each gate, 12 gates, each one of them is made up of one pearl. They're all open. 12 names on the 12 gates of the tribes of Israel. The gates are always open, and it's just an amazing thing, this gate made of a solid pearl, which reminds us of the cover. You remember a pearl is found in an oyster, and it comes from the oyster having a foreign substance come in and an irritant and makes a wound. And it covers it again and again until it becomes smooth and becomes a pearl. This gate is one solid pearl. It reminds us of the suffering of Jesus, the wounds of Jesus, who took our sins upon it and made it a covering, an atonement for you and I, and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gates are pearl. The wall is made of jasper, pure crystal. It's 216 feet thick, three-quarters of a football field wide. You say, why have walls around this holy city? Well, it's not to keep us out or keep people in. It's has a special purpose of glorifying God. And so here this is, this beautiful city, the gates of pearl, the wall around it is made of jasper, pure like a diamond, so it can reflect the light of God. And then he talks about the foundations of the precious stones, Revelation 21, 19 through 20, 12-layer foundation. Hebrews 11, 10 said, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we talked about this last week. Let me just run through the colors for you. Level 1 is jasper, clear as crystal. Level 2, sapphire, deep, rich blue. Level 3, chalcedon, sky blue. Level 4, emerald, brilliant green. Level 5, sardonyx, dark purple with light purple striations through it. Level 6, sardis, rich red. First stone in the breastplate of the high priest is red. Level 7, chrysolite, yellow green. Level 8, beryl, which is sea green and aqua. Just think how these two lay beside each other, on top of one another. Level 9, topaz, orange, kind of a yellow-red orange. Level 10, chrysophis, green with flecks of gold in it. Jacinth, violet, amethyst, purple. Now, this city will look like a shimmering rainbow, this foundation, with light reflecting off and through them into the city and out of the city. It's designed to reflect the glory of Almighty God. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are on the foundation. Revelation, we use in Revelation chapter 21, that's describing this to us. In verse 14, he said, in the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so the names of the apostles are cut into these foundations because they were the foundation of the church and the work of getting the Word of God to us. Another reminder of Israel and how important Israel is to us, to pray for them, to love them. You said, why, Brother David? They brought us the oracles of God, His Word. God used them to bring the Word to us. The physical line of the Messiah, the tribe of Judah, and Jesus coming through the tribe of Judah, the line of David. The church and the apostles bringing the gospel in to the age of grace. And so this is a reminder again, all of these things preach of the glory of God and what God has done. Gates of pearl, wall, crystal clear, foundation, all like jewels, all this beautiful color. And then the fourth thing, the streets are made of translucent gold. Listen to verse 21, the latter part. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. This is pure gold beyond measure. We've never seen translucent gold. Everything allows the light of God to shine and radiate through it. Today, listen, you're the light of the world. God says, you're the light of the world, salt of the earth. And we need God's glory to radiate out of us. Remember what he said in Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, a hidden light's no good. You're in the dark and you can't find your flashlight. The batteries are dead. It's not shining. We need to shine and let our light shine. Now, the light within this great, beautiful city is none other than the Lord himself. Revelation 21, listen at 22 and 23, and I saw no temple therein. We don't need a temple because he's there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Isn't that something? God is the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The glory of God will illuminate the entire city. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 60, verse 19, says this, listen, and he's prophesying, listen, 400 years before Jesus was born, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. God is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And friends, he truly is. He says there'll be no temple there because God and the Lamb are the temple. We're saved. We got our new bodies. We've got perfect knowledge of God. We know as we are known. We are like him. Our lives with him will be worship and praise and gratitude and service before the Lord. Enjoying all of God's creation, enjoying the Lord, enjoying the new earth and the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, the Father's house. I read a statement by J.S. Cease, who wrote The Apocalypse, which means the revealing and the apocalypsis of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is, the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, let me read what he says, commenting on the brilliant light emanating from the New Jerusalem. He says that shining is not from any material combustion, not from any consumption of fuel that needs to be replaced as one supply burns out, for it is the uncreated light of him who is light, dispensed by and through the Lamb as the everlasting lamp to the home and the hearts, and the understanding of his glorified saints. When Paul and Silas lay wounded and bound in the inner dungeon of the prison of Philippi, they still had sacred light which enabled them to beguile the night watches with happy songs. When Paul was on his way to Damascus, a light brighter than the sun at noon shone round about him, irradiating his whole being with new sights and understanding and making his soul and body ever afterwards light in the Lord. When Moses came down from the mount of his communion with God, his face was so luminous that his brethren could not endure to look upon it. He was in such close fellowship with light that he'd become informed and infused with light and came to the camp as a very light of God glowing with the glory of God. On the Mount of Transfiguration, that same light steamed forth from all the body and raiment of the blessed Jesus. And with reference to the very time when this city comes into being in place, Isaiah said, the moon shall be ashamed and the sun confounded. Ashamed because of the outbeaming glory which shall appear in the new Jerusalem, leaving no more need for them to shine in it, since the glory of God lights it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Wow. Isn't that something? Friends, listen to me. Imagine approaching this city from a distance. You see this city with streets of gold, walls of crystal, 12-layer foundation of jewels like a rainbow, gates of pearl. What a beautiful, marvelous place lit by the glory of Almighty God, fully illuminated from within by the light of the Holy, Holy, Holy One. No wonder the Apostle Paul writes, he says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath promised to those who love him. Boy, what a place. We've never seen anything like it. Don't you thrill and anticipate coming into the presence of God. You know, friends, we should be more heavenly minded. This is your future home. We need to think about it more. We just fall in love with this old world around us. We get entrenched with it. We think, oh my goodness, I won't see the sunset anymore. Hey, you're going to see something better than that. You're going to see something more beautiful than the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in this world, in the glorified, magnificent city of Almighty God. Man, that's our home. Well, let's look at the fifth thing right quick, the tree of life. Revelation chapter 22 now, we're moving into the next chapter, verses 1 and 2. And watch what it says. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. See, there's God the Father, God the Son, before the throne, the sweet Holy Spirit of Almighty God. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the street was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Wow. So there's a beautiful, pure, crystal clear river flowing out of the throne of God through the middle of the New Jerusalem. During my prayer time, when I pray that, and I'm praying, it says magnify the name of the Lord, make much of the name of the Lord, and I'm named the names of the Lord, Elohim, the great triune creator God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the water of life. Every time I think of the water of life, I think that when we were in Caesarea Philippi, we were up right below Mount Hermon, the snow melts, and there's a stream that runs right out of the mountain and runs along here. This is where Jesus was with the disciples when he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Zechariah, some say this. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's one of my favorite places there. It's just, I mean, it's so beautiful, and that water rippling over the stones and so clear from that fresh melted snow. And here this beautiful river like we've never seen before. I mean, the clearest of clear, flowing out of the throne of God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit right there. And on each side of the river are trees growing. Verse 2 again, let me read it to you. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the street was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. Now, it says they were on both sides. The Hebrew word that's used there for the tree of life is plural, that they're along both sides of the road of the river. Each tree yielded its fruit each month, fresh fruit every month. Possibly the same as the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Who knows? But there's no mention of a tree of knowledge of good or evil, because we don't need that. Evil's over. God has judged it. Sin has been dealt with. Death has been dealt with. No more tests for us. We've finished our course. We've run our race. We've received our crown before Almighty God and walking and loving Him. We eat of the fruit freely. Yeah, somebody said, we're going to eat in heaven, apparently. We talked about the new body. We talked about Jesus eating with the disciples. But praise the Lord, our appetite will be redeemed along with the rest of us. Our perspective on food will be different. I don't know what it'll be. That's beyond us right now, but we'll know as we're known then. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. The Greek word is therapedia, which means therapeutic. The perfect glow of health, full of energy and vibrancy, emotional peace, joy, stability. You said, well, how are we going to relate to these? I don't know. God doesn't say. And it's better not to speculate if we don't know, but they're there. God tells us they're there. He tells us they're for food. He tells us they're for therapeutic purposes. We'll find out when we get there. But we know we're going to live forever. We'll never, ever die. We have eternal life. We have a new body that's never, ever going to get sick. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. Don't you? I start to say feel good every day, but there's no night and day there. You feel good all the time. You're exuberant and blessed and joyful and enriched. So in our study, we've looked at the dimensions of the city, and then we looked at the description of the city. But we need to look at another part real quick that makes this city so special, and it's the denial of this city. Listen to what he says to us in chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But who's going to be there? But they which are written in the Lamb's book of light. You see it? Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the most critical thing today we're talking about. You must be born again or you'll never see this. You'll spend eternity in the flames of hell. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And Revelation 20 says the lake of fire is the second death. The wages of sin is death. But listen, Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. God has given the gift of eternal life if you and I will come and trust Him by faith. Come and tell God you're a sinner. All of us have sinned and come short. You believe Jesus is the Son of God. As you believe He is, you believe He died, you believe He was resurrected, you trust Him, you call upon Him, and it says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, born again, washed in the blood, eternity is ours, heaven is ours, and we enjoy this wonderful, wonderful city of God. Think, we got the new heaven and the new earth to go and look and see and worship God and magnify Him. We've got this new city that's going to have, you're going to have a mansion, a luxury suite. You're going to have a residence in the Father's house in heaven itself. What a marvelous thing to know that you're born again and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the sad part is that not all who live on the earth will gain entrance to this city or to heaven. These are people who wouldn't believe. Or if they did believe it was true, they wouldn't receive Jesus as their Savior. They love their sin and their sinful way better than the Lord. They never repented. The word repent is metanoia. It means turn from the way you're going and turn to Jesus. Look to the Lord. They never repented of their sins, and they never received forgiveness. And not in receiving forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His wonderful grace, you never get eternal life. All of us who enter are old sinners saved by grace. Boy, that's my only hope for heaven's Jesus. Amen. And I'm going there because I know. I know what He did for me, and I know I've trusted Him by faith. And He's given us this wonderful word written to us that we may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have everlasting life. See, our job today now, we're ambassadors and witnesses from this city, from this nation of God's people. God tells us to go tell people of Him and His grace and His mercy and His salvation. Share the gospel. Get the gospel out. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? And that we invite people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved through faith in Him. That's our job today. Friend, heaven is real, but it's only for the saved. Hell is real, and the unsaved are going to spend eternity there. And it's tragic, and that's why we must be about the Lord's business. Those who reject Jesus Christ will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 22, Verse 17, listen. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and the bride, the church, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. We've heard. We're inviting other people. Let him that is athirst come. Are you longing in your soul? You're thirsty spiritually. You're hungry. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Boy, make your reservation today. If you haven't made it, you make it today. You just stop, kneel down beside that radio, and call upon the Lord and ask God to save you and forgive you about your sins. And dear friend, he'll do that in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, right then, he'll forgive you of your sins, and he promised to. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've made your reservation for heaven. Well, we've looked at our future home now, the New Jerusalem. Now, next week, we're going to begin to look at the new heaven and the new earth. Cities there. And now we're going to look at the what God has done with the new heaven and the new earth and what he tells us about it. And so we'll continue to walk our way through this wonderful truth of the Word of God. And as we talk about heaven and the blessed hope that's in front of us. Amen. Well, I thank you for being part of the broadcast today and tuning in and listening with us. Share the word. Invite people on Tuesday. Other speakers are on Monday through Friday. They're teaching you the Bible at the same time. I know Brother David Kemp, a wonderful Bible teacher, teaches on one of the days. And Brother Tommy's just done a wonderful job in furnishing the Bible preaching and teaching and keeping Gospel Dynamite going on about its business. And for decades and decades and decades, 1942, Dr. Robertson started preaching Gospel Dynamite. And since then, it's just been preached and taught and blessing the hearts and lives of people. But again, thank you. And I want you to pray for Sue and I as we travel, going out about the Lord's business. Pray God will give us health and energy and strength to do his work, protection, watching over us as we travel and go, flying a lot of thousands and thousands of miles and driving and doing all kind of other things, getting the good news of the gospel out. And so we want to thank you for being part of it today. Pray for us. Pray for Tommy, the team at WDYN. Pray we can enlarge the power and continue to go forward and that God will bless in that. Well, until next Tuesday, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly, richly bless you.